Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. We as a nation have come to say,
oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
Radio. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. If my people, blessings on you out there. We happy to have you join us. Today we'll be talking about restoring your God-given power. Remember that in Acts 2 it says when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. So we're going to be talking about that today. And we're also going to be talking about how people have misused that power. We're going to go over a little bit of history from the saints from all up until today. All right, if you want to call in, if you're listening, you can go in online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345, or you can call in at 516-531-9550. Right now, we're going to listen to Miss, who do we want to hear? We got a couple for you. We're gonna listen to Byron Cage, then we're also going to listen to Waymaker by Shinash. Here's Byron Cage. Thou art a shield for me.
Comes a time in every day in our life. Trials are going to come, but God said, I will not leave you comfortless. So be encouraged.
Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, but thou, Lord, art a shield for me. Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting my head.
When I cry. When I pray. Didn't understand. You lifted my head.
Thank you.
Shanash, I know who I am. Know who God has empowered you to be. So we're going to start right at the beginning. Because I want to talk a lot about women and being restored in power. Because everybody says, it was Eve who sinned, and Eve was the cause of the fall, but not so, because dominion was given to Adam. Let me say that again. Dominion was given to Adam. And the word says that creation did not fall until Adam ate from the tree. I know y'all don't like this, but it's the truth anyway. See, when Adam ate, then creation fell. See? Then creation fell. Because if you go to Genesis 3 and you start at verse 9 when God starts questioning them, and he's asking them, listen, where y'all at? Where are you? Adam, where are you? He didn't ask Eve where she was. He asked Adam, where are you? See, because he was used to coming down in the cool of the day and talking to Adam. And it was a spiritual thing. They were connected. But because of Adam's disobedience, the connection, that spiritual connection, was broken. See, it didn't happen until Adam ate. Nothing happened when Eve ate. Nothing. That's why she could bring it to Adam and say, see, nothing happened. But being the man and being the one that dominion and the power was given to, he should have obeyed God. He could have gave him another wife. See, and that's the first part of what I want to talk about in this series, in being restored, having your power restored. Because many times when women see other women in authority, there's jealousy and there's strife and a wanting to do what she is doing, what that particular woman is doing, but never realizing that maybe you were not called to that. Too many times in ministries now and in the church, we see, you know, women lusting after other women's position. You know, if you weren't called to be an evangelist, then don't lust after that gift. Ephesians says he called some. He didn't call all. He called some. So abide ye in your own calling and work that calling to the best of your ability through the Holy Spirit. See, he called some. He didn't call everybody. See? And Eve talked to the serpent. And the serpent, but he told her some truth. He told her half truth. He said, surely God didn't say that if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. For God knows that when you eat from this tree, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. Well, there's some things sometimes God just don't want you to know because it's just not your season to know them because you're not mature enough to handle it. Be content in your not knowing. Don't let others come to you to try to convince you, oh, well, you can do what she's doing. And we do that. Women, you know we do that. We sit in church and a woman pastor may be preaching, woman evangelist may be speaking, and he's like, girl, you know you can do that too because you got a good word in you. But did God call you to do that? We're talking about being restored in power, but you got to get beyond all these fleshly things because being restored in power is a spiritual thing. It's not a fleshly thing. And see, God is not going to be able to entrust you with his people living and moving out of your flesh. See, he's got to be able to trust you in order for you to treat his people like he would have them be treated. No strife, no jealousy, none of that. The 17 works of the flesh cannot dwell in you. See? Cannot dwell in you. And you have to understand that. See? Because he said he gave some in Ephesians 4:11. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, not all, just some, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, so if you don't have a compassionate and loving spirit, a true spirit of Christ, the true spirit of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you won't have any power to operate as God needs you to operate, because you're operating in strife and contention. Now, you may be able to speak a word, but the power that you're using to speak that word will be of Satan, because it will just be a familiar spirit. And remember, I said, you know, some things, it's not time for people to know, see, because they're not in a place where they can handle it. And if you have a familiar spirit, then you've got diarrhea of the mouth. You will see something and you will just say it with no wisdom. There's no Holy Ghost to convict you. There's no Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom in how to operate in the gifts. And you have to be taught. You have to be under a leader who can teach you the proper way to operate in your gift. Other than that, you just run it out to skeleton. Because as the Bible says, the gifts are without repentance. And you have to understand that. If you have a gift, God gave it to you. He's not a man that he should lie. You have that gift. But you have to learn how to utilize that gift for the kingdom of God and not for the world. Remember the story of Paul and Silas, and they was they had just left from healing somebody, and Simon the sorcerer had this girl. And she could prophesy and she would tell people things and she was making them money and all of that. And they got sick of her because they kept, she was falling behind them and she was saying, you're a man of God and you're this, you're that. And they turned around and cast that spirit out of her. And the man was saddened because why? He lost his money. He lost his money. He lost his way of living. Because that's what he used her for, and people would pay him, much like Sue says today. Y'all want to know something rather than consult God? Y'all go get your palm read. See? You go and get your palm read rather than finding a real man of God and seeing, or going in prayer, seeking God's face. That's not what we want to do. That's not what we want to do because we want a right now word. We don't care if it comes from God, but being true women of God. True women of God. Possessing the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Holy Spirit. We have to do it the way God says do it. Though we bring curses not, we bring curses upon ourselves. See, because God got to know that he can entrust us with his people. See, and the other thing, the false belief is that a Jezebel is just a person who wears makeup and who is sexually promiscuous. That's not what it means. It means that you are a false prophet. You come against the things of God. See, you have the spirit of the Antichrist, so to speak. See? Because these are the things that Jezebel did. These are the things that, some of the things that she did. And she can be, her story can be found in 1 Kings, starting at chapter 16 and so forth. Because Jezebel, she cut off the prophets of the Lord. She killed them. Because remember, and 1 Kings 18 and 4, that Obadiah took 100 of the prophets and hid them in a cave. In 2 sets of 50, and he brought them bread and water. And remember when Elijah brought down fire in chapter 19? 1 Kings, he brought down fire, and it licked up the water, and it licked up the sacrifice, and Elijah killed all the prophets. She sent word to Elijah, hey, I'm going to kill you now. You done killed all the prophets of Baal, which was a false god, and I killed all the prophets of Baal. Now I'm going to kill you. And that is when Elijah ran and hid in the cave. It didn't mean that he was no less a prophet. We all have fear for our lives if you've never been in that state before. You say, how can a powerful man of God have all that power, call down fire from heaven, and still run and hide in a cave? Why? Because no one had threatened his life before. He knew of Jezebel. He knew the things that she had done. He knew full well that she was able to take his mortal life. See, he had not gotten to that place in God where he really knew that God would fight for him and not allow her to kill him. He wasn't in that place yet. See? So he did what he knew to do. He ran and he hid. But even in all of this, God still spoke to him. God still was with him. Even though later on down the line he told him, he said, go get Elisha, the son of Shaphat, because that's going to be your replacement. and I need to replace you now. But it made him no less a prophet. He still walked in the power of God. See? The other things Jezebel did, when her husband Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth, that's in chapter 21. And he was sad because he asked Naboth to sell him the vineyard, and Naboth said, I can't sell you my children's inheritance. The Lord would not permit it. And he lay on the bed sad and fasting and wouldn't eat anything. And this being her husband, he said, ain't you the king? Oh, I'll go take care of this. That was not her place. So she went and set up a scheme, had the people to honor Naboth and then lie on him to say that he blasphemed against God. And, you know, back in those times, that was you got stoned for things like that. So they stoned and killed Naboth. She came back home and they brought her the word that Naboth was dead. She said, get up, eat something. I told you I would get you the vineyard. And he with his happy self, stupid self, go and take possession of it. And then here comes Elijah. And Elijah comes. And he said, oh, what are you coming for, my enemy? And he told him exactly what his wife had did. And it wasn't that he didn't know. And he told him exactly what was going to happen to them. See? He told him exactly what was going to happen to them. But it was only after they had sinned. It was only after God spoke to him and said, Elijah, go tell Ahab. It wasn't out of his own self. It wasn't out of his own flesh saying, this is what you need. I need to go tell you. Because this is the kind of person that I see you are. No, this is what thus saith the Lord. See? And those kinds of things went on even in the Reformation time. There was this young prophet, evangelist. His name was Evan Roberts. And he was a weird kid. He would always speak in tongues. They didn't know what he was saying. They thought he was crazy. But he had a very close relationship with God as a very young man. So he grew up in the church, and he was sitting in church one day. He was about 12 or 13 years old, I think it was, it said. And he asked his friend, God told him, he said, I want you to win. And this was this was during the Welsh revival. This was over in England. And God told him why, because he could hear the voice of God very clearly. And God told him, he said, I want you to win 100,000 souls for me. So he looked over at his friend. He said, you think we could win 100,000 souls for God? And his friend said, yeah. That started his evangelism. So at age 13, 14, he became an evangelist. And he would sit on the pulpit and begin to speak what God said to the people. And the revival began. He only spoke a few sentences, and a mini revival began. However, this was in 1928. However, there was a woman by the name of Jessie Penn Lewis. She was already had a letter from her church that kicked her out. They kicked her out. She was labeled as, she was deemed an apostate and a heretic. And she kept trying to convince the young man. She kept trying to convince Roberts that the signs and wonders that occurred during the revival were not of God. But who was she to say that that was not God? So it just so happened, as a young man, you know, young people think they're invincible. So he was just doing revival after revival after revival after revival, and he succumbed to exhaustion. This was her opportunity. She took this opportunity to remove him from the church, and she took him to her home, to a cottage in the back of her house, where he convalesced there, because he was just tired. He just needed to rest. She took him away from the church. She took him away from his family. She didn't want anybody to see him, wouldn't allow his parents to see him. She wouldn't allow his pastor, his spiritual father, which was Charles Pelham, when he came there to see him, she would not allow them to see him, while at the same time, she had isolated him with her and told him that this was his time to intercede for the church. But that was not what God called him to do. God told him he needed to evangelize to get 100,000 souls for England. That's what he was supposed to do. But here comes this woman, Jesse Penn Lewis, with this Jezebel spirit, see, took him away from his purpose and calling that God himself had called him to from a young age. And he never preached again. He never went back to Wales, which is the area that God had called him to. Because how many of you know that when God calls you to a place, see, therein is where your power lies. God puts you in a place where he needs you to be, because there's a certain kind of folk, a certain kind of people that he has called you to. See, and your anointing is going to be most effective in that place or in that territory. Those principalities, those demonic principalities in that area are going to be subject to you, because this is where God has called you to be. See, we're talking about restoring your power. See? But this woman, Jesse Penn Lewis, took him out of where God had called him to be, pushed in his ears her beliefs, because she didn't believe, as they say today, God moves like that. I'm a witness. I can tell you that he does. God is still healing his people by his spoken word, not just by the laying on of hands, but by his spoken word. I'm a witness. God is still God. But do we believe God more than we believe man? Because if we see it and God has called us to it, then by faith, by his word, we can do it. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He said, I am the first of many brethren. If I don't leave, then I can't send you back the comforter. The comforter is the Holy Ghost. I can't send you back this power. And as it says in Acts, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. He told the disciples, greater works shall you do. See, just as you have seen me do, so too do you. That word is eternal for all that is his. See, once we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and we begin to speak in tongues is the evidence. See? That we are able to begin to know who we are in Christ. And I say begin to know, because salvation is just the first step. Now you need to learn who Christ is. You have to establish that relationship. You have to live in a way, yeah, you have to live in a way that honors God, that exemplifies Christ, in order for him to trust you with the power and authority that he will give you. If he can't trust you, he won't give it to you. He's not going to allow you to be over his people. See? And if he gives you this power and you're entrusted in the beginning and you kind of go astray of doing your own thing, God can and will take you up out of the earth. As he told Ezekiel, if I tell you to go to the righteous man and say this and this, and you don't do it, the blood is on your hands. I'm not just going to let you treat my sheep any kind of way. I know it might seem like that in churches today, but are those people called by God? Or did they call themselves? See, because if you are truly ordained and called by the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, who is the I am that I am, it's just some things that you are not going to be able to do. Period. Remember, straight and narrow is the path of righteousness. Broad and wide is the road to destruction. See? That's why he say, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You have to make a choice. Are you going to do it God's way? Or are you going to do it your way? Strictly out of your flesh. See? No. Another person, William J. Seymour. Some of you may know him. He was the man that started the Azusa Street Revival. He went to college, to the Bible Seminary, and he had to sit outside of the class. Now, he had a great job in Cincinnati. In 1901, he moved there. But he left that job to go to God's Bible School and Training Home. It was a school that was funded by a holiness preacher, Martin Wells Knapp. Now, at this school, blacks and whites could not study side by side. So he would sit out in the hall. See? He would sit out in the hall, and then he would listen. And this is how he got his degree. Once he got his degree, because he was one of the best students there, he was one of the best students there from 1904 to 1905. He was in Mississippi, but in 1903, he went to Houston. In Mississippi was where he received spiritual advice from a well-known colored clergyman, Charles Price Jones, and y'all got to know this name, Charles Harrison Mason. These two were the founders of what would become the Church of God in Christ. In 1895 and 1905, he met other holiness leaders, John Graham Lake and Charles Parham, who was leading a growing movement in the Midwest. When he got baptized in the Holy Ghost under Parham's Apostolic Faith Movement, he was invited to go to California. This is how he got to California, to preach at a church there. Well, he went and preached there, and he was saying that speaking of in tongues was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They did not want to receive it. He had went to L.A. to Julia Hutchins Church, and 2 days later, He went there, and the doors was locked the next day that he was supposed to come back and preach, because it was supposed to be a week revival. The first 2 days, the next day, they locked him out, saying that wasn't of God. But somebody came by and told him, hey, we knew you would be coming. You can come and stay at our house, and can you teach us about this Holy Ghost? So all of that Seymour went through in building Azusa and all of that, he got married. He got married to Jenny. And the women in the church, some of the women, felt like, oh, well, he shouldn't be married. He's supposed to just pray and focus on what God is doing. So when he got ready to expand, because he had lost some of the budget, the people, when the church split, it split from into the Assemblies of God. They stole his mailing list of more than 50,000 people. And the mailing list was important because at that time, that was the only way that people knew what time the revival would be and when they were having it. So it dwindled down. All because a woman thought, well, that's not God. See? So this is what I'm talking about. It's that Jezebel spirit. See? For you, who are you to say what's not God? Just because you get mad because a person make life choices. How do you know that God didn't tell him to marry that woman? But you mad because his whole entire life focus just was not on ministry. Just was not on performing signs and wonders for you. Because that's what you thought he should do 24/7. Even Jesus took a break. So how could you possibly think that? Jesus ate, he slept, he got away from the people for a time to rejuvenate himself. See, that is examples of the spirit of Jezebel, how it can derail your ministry. Even today, you walk in who God has called you to be, in power and authority, and some of our sisters sitting right there in the ministry because of contention, strife, and jealousy are speaking to other sisters about you. I was at an event a few weeks ago, and the person who introduced me told me later on that the MC told her, oh, I got to cool her down. You done blowed her head up. Okay, how so? This is the foolishness. See, the little idiosyncrasies and the little tricks and schemes of the enemy that you allow to come in to come against your sister, supposedly, in the ministry. But who are you worshiping, really, for you to say that? I am who I am. But see, the thing is, I am already justified in Christ. I don't have to justify myself to anybody. And God's power and authority moved that night, just as well as it should, because it's not about me. It always has to be about what thus saith the Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to move and to minister to his hurt and broken people. Remember, it's for the edification of the body in Christ, not for us to be seen. This is what the power is for. Another lady, you probably never heard of her. Her name was Betsy Stockton. Now, this was the first black and the first single missionary to go overseas. She went with Charles Stewart over to the Hawaiian Islands called the Sandwich Islands. And she was the first black missionary and the only the first single American woman that was sent overseas as a missionary. Now, when she went, she was born a slave, but they freed her. And they told them when she went, now listen, when she goes, she is neither an equal nor a servant, but as a humble Christian friend. And they told them that she was not to be more occupied with domestic duties than the other missionaries. She was the only African American and the only black one in that crowd that went. They left New Haven, Connecticut in November of 1822 for a whole five-month voyage before they arrived in Maui. And she was the teacher of the first mission school open to the common, the non-chiefly people of Hawaii. Not just the chief, but just the common people. See? This is what she did. Out of obedience to what God called her to do, she was able to go and to accomplish that. And she stayed with that household until 1830, and then she briefly taught at an infant school in Philadelphia. And then she established a school for Indians in Great Island in Canada. She then went back to school in Princeton, went back to Princeton, New Jersey, where she was originally from, and she taught in its school for people of color until her death in 1865. She helped found Princeton's first Presbyterian Church of Color, which was in 1848, which was named the Witherspoon Street Church. See, but you don't know these things if you don't study to show thyself approved. These are the things that women have done when they followed the unction of the Holy Ghost and was obedient to Christ to do it the way that he said do it. Not getting big-headed, not trying to take over, not having a bodacious, bulldaggery spirit come against their sisters, but simply wanting to do the will of God. That's how you are empowered. That's how you are restored in power. When your spirit is clean. We talked last month about the fruits of the spirit. When you truly possess the fruits of the spirit, which is nothing more than the characteristics of God himself. When you truly possess these things, you can walk in all power and all authority. Another person was Catherine Kuhlman. You probably heard of her. Catherine was born in the early 1900s, the early part of the century, and she had these big revivals. People would come from all over to be healed. And the only thing Catherine did, she would just walk and pray on the stage. And then she would say, God is healing somebody here and God is healing somebody there. She made one mistake. She married the wrong person. But then she got divorced and she went back to her ministry and God restored her. And she traveled extensively around the U.S. and many other countries, holding what they called back then healing crusades between the 1940s and the 1970s. She also had a weekly TV program in the 60s and 70s, and it was called I Believe in Miracles, and it was aired nationally. She had a 30-minute nationwide radio ministry of teaching the Bible and frequently would feature excerpts from her healing services. This is how people heard about her. And they would go and find her. They would come from all over to find her. simply believing God. She also made appearances on the Christian Broadcasting Network. And it's programmed the 700 Club, if you remember that. There were many, many accounts documented of people being healed. People would go back to the doctor and they, whatever ailment that they had, if they went to Catherine's service, they go back to the doctor and it's not there anymore. You don't have it anymore. Pacemakers disappeared out of people's bodies. They didn't know where it went. In her book, Daughter of Destiny, it was written, and this man, he had a pacemaker, and he said, I just felt a burning in my chest. And the next thing he knew, his heart was normal. They could not find the pacemaker when he went back. They thought, okay, who did you have take that out? But nobody had any operations. God did it. That's the kind of power that needs to come back to the church. It hasn't went anywhere. But when we get in a place in God where we truly can be obedient to him and have a love for his people as he says so, have that relationship, that restoration of power will come. It hasn't gone anywhere. But the question is God able to trust you like that? Would you still be humble? Would you still be able to say, God, I'm not prideful. I just want to serve you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to serve your people, to serve you, to serve your people, God. Or would you have a big entourage where nobody could get to you? And it now becomes a show where you're the one that's being glorified rather than God. These are the things we have to look at if we truly want to walk again in our God-given power. It hasn't gone anywhere. It just is, as the Bible says, a lot of us have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We just don't believe that these things can be done. We don't believe that God can operate in the earth like that in this day and time. Because we've gone so far away from his word. As it says in Timothy, having itching ears, not believing sound doctrine, doing what you want to do. If the pastor says, oh, well, women don't wear pants here, I go find a church that I can wear my pants at. Ain't nobody finna stop me from wearing my pants. That kind of attitude. Don't want to be subjective to anybody, but you want to walk in power and authority. How? If you can't obey the God-given leader that God has placed over you, how do you expect to have his power? How do you expect him to trust you with his power and his people? Remember, these are not your people. These are God's people. He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He didn't say they'd be drawn unto you. He said, go to the hedges and highways and compel my people to come, not your people. And I think a lot of times that's where a lot of people get it twisted, because they see the church growing, or they see the ministries getting larger, and a lot of people are beginning to come out and to hear them, and forgetting that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that they're coming to see. It is He who brings deliverance. It is He who brings healing. It is He who restores their peace of mind. It is He who gives them their salvation, making them a new creation in Christ. We are just the vessel that He uses. There is no room for pride, no room for contention, no room for strife. If we really want to walk in the power and authority that God has given us, that is truly ours, that He said that we could have once we receive the Holy Spirit. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, it ain't no such thing as laying your Holy Ghost down. How you do that? Once you have Him, you are one. Christ said, I am the first among many brethren. You are one. We are jointly fitted together, one body, one mind, one spirit. How you just leave the Spirit of God? How you just lay it down and decide to pick it up and come back? I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. I don't know who told you that. I don't know who convinced you that it would work that way, but it does not work that way. If you have it, you have it. And you go from glory to glory. You learn more, you study more, you fast more, and your relationship with Christ becomes stronger and stronger. Again, this is Blog Talk Radio. If my people, I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. We got about 20 more minutes, 20, 30 more minutes in the conversation. If you would like to call in, you can reach me at 516-531-9550. If you have any questions, if you would like to sign on, you can sign on at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345, and you can listen in. Today's topic is restoring your God-given power. That which God has given you. Not the things for the things of this world. We shouldn't lust after those things. It said, if you want to lust after anything, lust after those spiritual gifts. See? When we put aside the foolishness of this world. And the fleshly things. Then we can do that. It's stated in 1 Corinthians 14:1. See? To follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye prophesy, for he that speaketh in the unknown tongue, they speak not unto men, but unto God. See, tongues is speaking in the evidence of the Holy Ghost, so that unbelievers can know that God is real. But we've taken it in the churches, you know, we see so many comedians and videos and stuff mocking the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that it confuses the whole unbeliever, and they think, oh, well, you know, that ain't real or whatever. See? But if when you come into the church and you can speak a word, and as it says in Acts, that it pierced their hearts and say, how can I be saved? When you have a demonstration of power, how can one not believe when they are healed, when they are delivered, when they are set free? See? But without the Holy Ghost, it's just like a clinging trumpet. Nobody understands what you're saying. They need to know what you're saying. See? So don't just lust after power for your own edification. It's supposed to be for the edification of the body of Christ, not for you to be seen. Not for you to prove anything to anybody, because as I said, you are justified in Christ. That's enough. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ gets the glory, that's enough. There's nothing else that needs to be proven to anybody. If you are for real, called by God, filled with his spirit, walking in his authority, signs and wonders follow, they stick around long enough, they will see. And they will know that it is God. And even if they don't, you still got a God to glorify. You still got a charge to keep. Your purpose still has to be fulfilled. Remember, Jesus told you, just as they have persecuted me, they also going to persecute you for my name's sake. Everybody is not going to believe and agree that you are who you are, but you've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus and walk in that power and authority. And just know that God is with you. You've got to know that. Regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what anybody else thinks, if this is what he has called you to, and if God be for you, then who can be against you? Nobody. Because it's going to work. See? God told Joshua after Moses is dead, he said, listen, my servant Moses is dead, and I need you to take these people across the Jordan. And this is what I need you to do. I need you to be strong and of good courage. He said, only be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In other words, do what I told you to do. Don't worry about those people, Joshua. It's the same God. It's the same principle. Do what I told you to do. Be strong. Be courageous. Make your face like flint. I'm the one that's working behind you. I'm the one that is with you. Those people don't matter. And he told him again in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you may go. That's all you need to know. When you're walking in the power and authority of who God has called you to be, that's all you need to know, that he, wherever you go, wherever you put your feet, whatever city, town, country, wherever he leads you, that he is with you. He has given you the power and the dominion to do what you need to do in the earth for such a time as this. All you got to do is be strong and courageous and go. Because he sent you. Because he sent you. And even more than that, he has gone on before you. Jesus told us, I go to prepare a place for you. When you pray and you send the angels before you, they're preparing the place, they're opening the ground before you. Why? Because you have prayed, and the Bible says, anything that you ask in my name, believe it, so shall you what? So you will receive. So now you go forth in all power and authority. Knowing that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Knowing that you're going to be successful. Knowing that the souls and the people that God has called you to are going to be healed, delivered, and set free. It doesn't matter who comes against you. The victory is already assured. You, as the song say, you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. I'm talking about restoring your power. It doesn't matter what you've been through in life. Catherine Kuhlman got married into a marriage she should not have been in. But yet God delivered her. When she came to him and she repented, she left. She went back home, packed her stuff up and left, and got back in her ministry. And people still got healed. People still got delivered. The gifts are without repentance. But it's better when you do it in the obedience and humility of Christ that he has called you to. The way that he has called you to do it. Not leaning unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledging him. And many people think, oh, I'm just out here, I'm doing this on my own. But God set up the church. He said apostles, then prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. See? He set up an order so that you could have a head. See? A lot of people out here with these gifts, that's why they say the gifts are without repentance, running helter-skelter on their own. I don't need to be attached to anybody. And it's just a money-making business for you. It's not about the souls. You don't want to be subject to anybody. Well, I'm here to tell you out of order. I'm sorry. Really not sorry, but it's the truth anyway. You are out of order. He said, forsake ye not the assembling of yourself. You have to have a covering. And you wonder why when trials and so many things and the enemy get busy in your life, the trials last so long. There's nobody covering you. He set these gifts in the earth for the edification of for the body of Christ. Some. So when you get in trouble and you're out here and you're just out here on your own, where's your apostle? Where's your bishop? Where's your pastor? Who's covering you? Who sent you? Even when Paul got slapped off the horse, he was Saul then. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute some more Christians. And he got slapped off the horse and blinded. And the Lord asked him, he said, why dost thou persecute me? He said, who art thou, Lord, that I persecute? He said, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I know. So he's blind. He said, I'm going to send you to a man. He didn't restore his sight. He didn't teach him the ways that what he wanted him to do. Paul had to go sit under Cornelius for 14 years. First, he had to be saved. Then he had to receive the Holy Spirit and learn in the Spirit what God wanted him to do. He had to sit there and be taught. But some of you do not want to be subjected to anybody, because you know, I speak to God, God speaks to me. Well, I want to ask you this. Are you sure it's the Lord Jesus Christ? Is you sure it's Jehovah God, the I am that I am that you're speaking with? Or is it just the familiar spirit that entertains you because you have this gift without repentance? And are you leading God's people astray? Have you ever asked yourself that? Yeah, it's going to work. But remember, God said that at the end of the day, on the judgment day, some of y'all, he's going to say, the person, well, I heal people in your name. I did this in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. I know you not. I don't know you. See? Because you're leaning to your own understanding, running with a gift. See? Running with a gift because you think you know and never sit down and took the time to be subject to anybody. In Jeremiah 23, he says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. See? You're scattering the sheep because you're making these promises, you're prophesying, and you're doing all this stuff out of your flesh, and you are hurting God's people. You may not realize it, but God sees and he knows. And I would admonish you to really seek God's face for where he needs you to be. Because he didn't just call you out there to be singular and to run helter-skelter all over the place. But God is a God of order. And he set the church in order for the edification of the body of Christ. So this power that is being restored and that is given, is being given, it's going to be given to those who he can entrust with his people. It's gone on long enough, the abuse of folks in these churches. And because people literally don't know, they put so much trust in man that they can do anything to them. I don't even have the word for it. But the leaders are so deceitful and moving out of their flesh that they sow into their flesh. And women fall for these lustful and lascivious acts that these men tell them to do, thinking that it's God. Really? No. He's pleasing your flesh. And I'm just going to tell you, there's no such thing as holy semen. Go back to the Old Testament. A man was killed for spilling his seed on the ground. These acts, they were stoned to death for. Even if he got it on his clothes, he had to sit at the camp for 7 days because he was deemed unclean. So how is it holy? I'm talking about restoring your power. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Because if he tells you to come out from the midst of them, if he tells you that you're in the world, but you are no part of the world, then why would the very sin that you were caught up in the the world be the very same sin that is in the church? Check your spirits. Test the spirit by the spirit to see that it is of God. Christ came so that you could have liberty, not to be torn again in bondage. That's emotional, that's spiritual, that's in your mind. He doesn't want you in bondage. But we fall for the tricks and plots and schemes of the enemy because we sow to our flesh more so than we sow to the spirit. And they think they're right. And their followers think they are right. Let's let them know this today. No, that is wrong. That is not the God that I serve. I don't know about anybody else. He's not going to call you to lasciviousness, to all manner of evil, and all of these things that go on today in these churches. And it's supposed to be God's power. What God? God is holy. He is righteous. He's not calling you to perform any sexual act on anybody in any church. And I don't care who say what. Those things are of Satan. And I say it again, there's no such thing as holy semen. Don't fall for it. See, this is what we mean when they fail to follow sound doctrine. You go into church and you got to take your clothes off, honey, I'm telling you, you better leave. Now, that's not of God. If it ain't a foot washing service, you're just taking off your little socks and shoes, that's it, to get your feet washed. Anything else, I'm sorry. One, that is an abuse of power. Restoring your power. Giving you the right to know right from wrong, to differentiate, to discern whether it is or is not of God, regardless of what anybody says. You see that, happen? You have the right to leave. If they tell you you can't come back, you can't come back. Okay, I wasn't planning on it anyway. And find you a real man or woman of God that is teaching true holiness, true righteousness by the Spirit of the living God. You don't have to be in bondage. We restore your power, your right to choose ye this day whom you will serve. If God be God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, the I am that I am, serve him. But if Baal be God, and all the machinations of Satan that come with it, then serve him. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord Jesus Christ and preach this gospel unto all the ends of the earth, that men might be saved. Restore your power, knowing who you are in God, that you ain't got to settle for less than what God has called you to be. I am Pastor Leona Ross of International Development Churches under the tutelage of Dr. Apostle James Lorenzo Rutledge. Our chief apostle is S.D. James. This is If My People on Blog Talk Radio that you have been listening to. Today's subject was restoring your God-given power. I hope that this word has blessed you. I hope that it has empowered you to truly seek the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live in a way that honors him, that he might entrust you with purpose, that whatever he has planned for your life, that he can entrust you to do that which he has called you to do, to obey his will, that he might entrust you with his people. Blessings upon all of you. We're going to go out of here today. I just want you to know who God is. Going to go out with Ron Canole, Ancient of Days. You guys have a blessed day, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Blessings on you.
Lord, we just continue to celebrate you. We worship you not only with our mouths and with our hands clapping and feet dancing, but Lord, we even worship you on our instruments tonight. Oh, yeah.